In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So there's an old Zulu proverb that says, Unamuntu, Ungamuntu, Nagabantu, which translated means, a person is a person because of people. It means that there's something lacking about personhood when a human is not part of a community. As an individual, alone and by himself or herself, full personhood is somehow diminished. It echoes what God told Adam in the garden. It's not good for man to be alone. In God's relationship, our covenant with humanity, the Lord is called the groom, the people, his bride. God's covenant is a marriage. This nuptial communion, this relationship was broken when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. The way away from God broke God's intention for marriage itself. God formed male and female together in a marital relationship to enter his presence and become a gateway for his kingdom garden to spread to the world. Putting it another way, marriage was created as a sacrament, a means of spreading the grace of God. Without God, however, marriage cannot live into its sacramental purpose. That first marriage was affected by sin. Adam and Eve's relationship was damaged by the way Satan tempted them. If you remember, the devil spoke to one apart from the other. So all that the devil does with marriage is there in microcosm. From that point forward in history is to tear one from the other. And every other relationship for that matter. Enter Jesus Christ into history. Our gospel reading for this Sunday, third Sunday in Epiphany, is from the Gospel of St. John in the second chapter. It is Jesus Christ's first miracle. Not surprisingly, it was at a wedding in a place called Cana of Galilee. What happens at this wedding with Jesus present became a microcosm as well of all that Jesus came to do. That's why he starts with a marriage, a wedding. It stands to reason that when Jesus begins his ministry of redeeming the world, he starts with the restoration of a troubled wedding. Importantly, the wedding at Cana is not the creation of a marital union. It is the restoration of marriage. See, technically, a wedding doesn't create a marriage. It restores it for two humans. Perhaps you remember the story. During the wedding festivities, the wine runs out. In one sense, this doesn't sound like much of a problem. Well, it does for Anglicans, I know. But we should remember that there's something much more profound at a theological level, a biblical level, taking place. We should remember that the fruit of the vine represented the life of the world. It symbolized blood. The Bible says, life is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 14. For the wedding to run out of wine was tantamount to saying life had gone out of this marriage before it even begins. With Jesus present, as I said, there was always, whenever he's present, a microcosm of all of life in and around him. A wedding gone dry before the Son of God was like a replay of what happened in the garden. Marriage had died. Not surprisingly, the mother of all mothers, the blessed mother of Jesus, Mary, was approached by the servants. The first mother, Eve, if you remember, her name meant mother of all living. Mary was the mother of Jesus Christ and thus became the mother of all living new life in him. Yet Mary also represented the bride of all brides. Remember, she in the New Testament embodies all that we should be as the church, as his bride. Well should Mary have been approached on that day. Yet she surprises us. She doesn't attempt to resolve the problem herself. She doesn't have that power. She translates this request to, whatever he tells you, do it, pointing to Jesus. We're told in our story that there were six large water pots for the purification of wedding rites. They were about the size, each one, of a human. There was ceremonial washing before marriage in the Old Covenant, representing that biblical marriage was to be based on purity. If there was impurity before marriage, it was to be resolved by God's provision of cleansing. There was always hope offered through God's covenant. But given what Jesus does with the water, the story points us to him as the source of cleansing and redemption. Jesus turns water into wine. He takes one source of life and transforms it into another source of life. God created the water of life. Wine, as I've already pointed out, was a symbol of blood. Literally, wine is water that is transformed through the fruit of the vine. In this sense, water turned to wine in Jesus' first miracle was a picture of life transformed through the image of this wedding. In this microcosm of all of life, marriage is restored. And through this restoration, we see Jesus' power and purpose. He redeems what was lost, even marriage. It's been said that when a marriage is performed, three are united. Since God created the union of a man and woman, it is therefore an entrance, this wedding, into the vestibule, as one theologian has said, into the vestibule of God's sacrament of marriage. However, if the couple does not invite God into their marriage, they'll not move from the vestibule, if you will, truly to God's altar of heaven and allow their marriage fully to enter his kingdom. That's what we're supposed to do with our families, our marriages. Their marriage will not fulfill, in this case, its sacramental purpose of releasing the gospel and the grace of God to the world. It remains in the vestibule. It never makes it to the altar. Yet even with Jesus present at Cana, the wedding had to be willing to turn to him for help. The bride and groom had to be willing to die to themselves and recognize that they could not solve this problem on their own. They needed God. Microcosm, right? Right there, of all of life and all that marriage is. Analogous to two people who get married in the church by a Christian minister, each person must die to himself or herself and together turn their marriage over to God. They must consciously invite Jesus Christ to be head of their home if they're going to make it from the vestibule to the altar. They must consciously do this. They must surrender and quit trying to dominate the other and let Christ rule in their marriage. And that's the challenge throughout the history of marriage. But when this happens, a marriage moves from the vestibule before God to his altar, releasing his grace and kingdom into their lives, and thus that marriage lives into what a sacrament is. This is why we read about Jesus' first miracle at a wedding during the season of Epiphany. The word means appearing. God appears to those who invite him into their marriage. Persons cease to be lone individuals. And in the words of that Zulu proverb, a person becomes a person because of people. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."